Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our Congress this year, 2025, starting today, in Jesus' name. And I pray that all we need to make a success of the ministry the Lord has given us in this new year, the Lord grant to everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. The faith, the power, the vision, the authority, the anointing, the breakthrough that we need, the Lord, during this period, from today till the end of the week, that the Lord grant unto everyone abundantly. Amen. And that we ourselves will cooperate with the Lord, that everything He wants to do in us, we allow Him to do it without any hindrance. Amen. Because it's when He works in us, He can work through us. And I pray that our personal lives will experience growth. Amen. Family life will experience growth. Amen. Our ministerial life will also experience growth. Amen. And the church worldwide will grow according to the plan of the Lord in Jesus' name. This Congress, the teachings we have, the ones taken by me, morning and midday, as well as evening, will be taken from Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll see what the people became and what they did, what they achieved for the kingdom of God by faith. And I pray that everything we'll see in them, as model, as pattern, as example, the Lord will reproduce in every one of us. Amen. Father, we bless your name for granting us journey mercies, bringing us here so that you can do what you have planned, what you intended to do in every life, in every minister. And I pray, Lord, nothing will stand between us and you, so that you will accomplish all you have in mind for every one of us in Jesus' name. Fulfill your will, perfect your work in everyone. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're reading from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, for by it, by faith, by that kind of faith, the elders obtained a good report. In verse 3, it tells us that it is through faith, this kind of faith, that we understand that the worlds were framed, were made, were created, were put in place by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made, not created, of the things which do appear. As we begin the chapter, we're looking at the hour in which we live. And as we move on in the faith, and move on in the ministry, and we're going towards the final hour. The final hour should be the finest hour. For many people on earth, they are growing older, the cooler they become. The weaker they become. And as they're going forth to the final hour, the final hour for most people becomes the worst time they ever lived. Think about their health. Think about their conviction. Think about their courage. Think about their backbone. Think about their commitment. The older they get, the worse they become. But for the people who stand by faith, the people who live by faith, and the people who approach life and ministry by faith, the final hour should be the finest hour. That's why we're looking at steadfast faith for the final and finest hour. We're looking at three things here in the message. Number one, the essential in the final hour of the church. The church started, you know the story. Christ said, upon this rock, not upon the shifting sand, not upon the bare ground, upon this rock, I will build my church. And he started building that church. And we come to the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Ghost, and the actions of the Savior recorded for us. And the church started in power, in great authority, going everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth, bringing souls into the kingdom. And now, as the church approaches the final hour, the essential thing, the important thing, the indispensable thing in the hour, final hour of the church, faith. Look at number two. Number two, the essence of the foremost hope of the Christian. As we're expecting the coming of the Lord, we expect that with great hope. And we need to have and know the very essence of the hope we have in the Lord. The hope for salvation. The hope for the purity, holiness, and the sanctification of the bride. The hope for the coming of the Lord. And he that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The essence of that hope, the faith beneath, under that hope. Number three, we're looking at the establishment of the finest heritage from Christ. He gives us an inheritance. We are heirs, joint heirs, co-heirs with the Lord. And for us to be established in that inheritance or heritage, all through by faith. The establishment of the finest heritage from Christ. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the essential in the final hour of the church. We're looking at Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 8. Luke 18 verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Talking about the body of Christ, members of the body and the ministers will bring requests before the Lord. We face challenges in our various ministries, challenges in our various churches, challenges in the various nations, and we come before God pleading with him that he will solve the problems we have, the problems we face in the various places we have come from. And the question is, will he avenge his own? Will he conquer for his own? Will he bring solution to the problems we present unto him? And Jesus, the Son of God, knowing the Father more than anyone knows him, he gives us assurance that he will avenge, he will answer, and he will do that speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In the final hour of the church, in the final moment of the church, when Christ, the Savior, when Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? There'll be activities on earth. There'll be religions on earth. The denominations are multiplying by the day. There'll be denominations on the earth. There'll be social work on the earth. There will be political maneuverings in the world. But one thing, the essential thing, the important thing, the indispensable thing, the thing you cannot do without if you're going to see him on that final day, at the final hour of the church, shall he find faith on the earth? Nobody can answer that for you. You have to make up your mind that you put your mind, your heart, your thoughts, your desire, your drive, and your purpose, you have to put it where he belongs, so that when he comes in the final hour of the church, you'll find faith in your heart. Three things. Look at number one, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. Number two. Number two, the elders with testimonies so sure. Number three, we're looking at the earth made totally as he spake. Look at number one. Number one, the evidence of things not seen. He gives us the description of faith, the definition of faith, the demonstration of faith. Look at verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now, as at then, now, as always, now, as ever, it will be. Faith then, faith now, faith henceforth, faith anytime. At every time is a now time. On the day God related with Abraham, it was his now. In the day when God related with Abel, with Noah, with Abraham, with Isaac or Jacob, for everyone while you are alive, it's the now. And every time God interacts with man, it has to be the now time. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is what brings the future into the present. Faith looks beyond what you have around you, and you look far beyond, and your faith draws its power, its creative power, its authority, his authoritative power draws that from the future, and it draws it to the now time. And that is the very substance of the things so far. It is the evidence of things not seen. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not in the now, in our now. Why don't we faint? Maybe you're weak today, but you look forward, you look up, and you draw the strength that he promised. You draw it to the now time. So we faint not. You look at your body, you look at your flesh, you look at your present life, and the things that surround you, and the things that pressurize you, they appear insurmountable. You look away from that, and you bring the fulfillment of the promise of God into your now. And because of that faith, we do not faint. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Think about that. The outward man and the inward man. The people, they allow their inward man to be exactly as their outward man. If the outward man has waves, storms, challenges, they allow the inward man to partake of the fear, of the trembling, of the weakness of the outward man. If the outward man is sad and discouraged, if the outward man sees signs that dazzle, they allow their inward man to identify with the outward man. But faith makes the inward man different. Look another direction. While the outward man is looking at the circumstances that surround, the inward man will be looking at the promises of God that cannot fail. And it's the inward man that will bring the strength and the courage and the grace and the power from the Lord. Bring it to the inward man and make it spill out to the outward man. That's why it says, for which cause, for which reason, we faint not. If any minister could have fainted, Paul should have fainted. If anyone should have fainted, Paul and Silas should have fainted. If anyone should have fainted, Peter in the prison, in the jail, should have been sleepless, traumatized, worried, anxious, and he should have fainted. But it says, for which cause? Because of faith, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, for our light affliction. How many people talk about their heavy load, their heavy affliction? They have not gone to prison for the gospel, but they say they talk about heavy affliction. They have not gone through shipwreck. They talk about heavy affliction. They have not been betrayed by false brethren. They talk about heavy affliction. And they have not been stoned almost to death, and yet they talk about heavy affliction. When you talk by faith, when you see by faith, when you think by faith, you understand, you have no heavy affliction. Paul, with all that he went through, he said, for our light affliction, understand, faith lightens the pressure of affliction. Faith lightens the weight of affliction. Faith lightens, dissolves the suffering people get through affliction. And because he was walking by faith, because he leaned on the Lord by faith for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This is Paul the Apostle, by the Spirit, identifying with God. God counts 1,000 years as one day. Man counts a day like 10 years. And when we have gone through some challenges, we say, when will this end? How will this come to an end? The persecution, the suffering, the difficulty, the challenges, when will this end? But Paul the Apostle said, all those weeks, all those months, all those years under the heavy persecution of the religious people in the land, he said, number one, it was light affliction. Number two, it was for a moment. It says, it worketh. Everything is working. The promise of God working. The power of God working. The persecution working. The pain working. Everything, because all things up or down, all things left or right, all things on the sea or in the air, all things work together for good for the people that are called of God. And so it says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? Look at verse 18. While we look not, there are things not to look at, there are things not to listen to, there are things not to observe, there are things you don't mind, there are things you don't give your mind, your ear may hear, but your mind does not analyze, translate, interpret, apply. Because if you're going to keep the stand of faith, it says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Why? Because the people that perpetrate those things that are seen, they themselves are temporal. The actions of the persecutors and the actions of the people here or there that may bother you for a moment, they themselves are temporal. Because of that, their actions are temporal. The things we see are temporal. And it says, but the things which are not seen, is power, is promise, is goodness, is authority, the accomplishment that you have not seen, it says they are eternal. Why? Because the one that produces them, that creates them, that does them in our lives, because he is eternal. So his actions, his answers to prayer, the possibilities we have in the name of our Lord Jesus, he is eternal. His effects in our lives, action in our lives, power in our lives, they too, they are eternal. The Lord gave us understanding. Come to number two here. Number two, we're looking at the elders with testimonies so sure. The elders with testimonies so sure. What does it mean by that? The elders, talking about elders in the faith. It didn't start with Adam. It didn't start with Eve, because neither Eve nor Adam manifested faith in God. They heard his word direct from his mouth. They had his nature, Adam and Eve. God created them in his image, and they had the power and the strength, and yet it was so easy for them to obey God, but they did not. So the least of the elders did not start with Adam and Eve. Rather, it started with Abel. Rather, it goes on to Enoch. Rather, it goes on to Noah. Rather, it goes on to Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and to the rest of them. When the least of people of faith, when they're recorded in heaven and preserved in his eternal book of records, will your name be there? Will he start with the pastor of that local church? Will he start the overseer of that state, of that nation? Instead of starting with Adam, he started with those elders. He started with his son. Will our sons and daughters and converts have their name in the register of the people that have faith, while we that brought them into the kingdom, while we're looking for our names? And so it talks about the elders with their testimonies so sure. And so he tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2, by it, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Many of those elders, I mean, in the Old Testament, they had intelligence. It was not the intelligence that brought them the good report. They had physical energy. It wasn't that that brought them testimony so sure. And they had long, long life, like Methuselah, like Adam himself, like the rest of them, more than 900 years. That did not bring them that good report. But by faith, all those people around the Tower of Babel, they had the plan, the plot to build a city and a tower that will reach up to heaven. But all that did not bring them the good report. But by faith, think about that. What you have, what you possess, what you demonstrate, the best, the highest, the greatest, the most recognized in heaven. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. In Joshua chapter 24, Reading from verse 31, Joshua chapter 24, verse 31. It says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Joshua had that good report." What he built, what he did, what he accomplished was not wiped away by just the dews that fall, or the winds that blew, or the enemies, the Canaanites, that came against them. What he did stood firm by faith. These elders, it says, and all the days of the elders, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. What will your own testimony be? Your converts, will they remain after you have moved on? After you are transferred from one place to the other, will the leaders under your leadership, the leaders that will succeed you, will they abide and remain in the faith? Will you have such a testimony? So sure, we're told about the elders that overlived, outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. I pray we'll have testimony. Amen. But we need to walk at it, walk at it, walk at it. You train people, you raise up people, you demonstrate the works of faith before them. You supervise the work of faith that they did. You follow after the patterns of the leaders, the overseers, the supervisors that went before us. You are not just satisfied, "I can do it." You are helping, you are raising, and you are transforming others from weakness to strength, that they too, they will do it. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the earth made totally, completely, as he spake. As he spake. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, were made, were created, were constructed, were fashioned out by the word of God." You know the story. "Let there be light, and there was light. Let the waters gather together, it was so." And day after day, he looked at what he did at the end of each day, and he said, "It was good." The same thing, when you talk, you look at the result of that talk. When you speak, you look at the outcome of that speech. When you say whatever, you look at the outcome and the result of what you have said. He made us in his image. He wants us to act like he acted. And we're told that the worlds, the planets, the whole universe framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. When you think of the word make. A carpenter can make a chair, a table, but he has to take an existing wood before he can make that chair. God had no material thing. Everything was void and empty. And out of nothing, he created the whole universe. If we manufacture anything today, if we do anything today, if we create or make anything today, we make out of existing material. But God, self-existent, God, great and mighty, God, incomparable, God, almighty, and with all power, the things which he made them out of things which were not seen. That was the power of God. We're told in Jeremiah chapter 32, reading from verse 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. Satan did not make the earth. Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. Scientists do not make the earth. They investigate. They examine. They find out. Geologists do not make the rock. The rock had been made by God. Geologists just come to examine all the stratas of the rock. Astrologers, astronomers, they did not make the star. The stars were made by God. They just come to find out the position of the stars and all their orbits. They don't make, they just investigate. But Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In your life, there will be nothing too hard for God. Amen. During this Congress, you can bring what needs recreation, reactivation in your heart, in your life, in your body, in your ministry. There is nothing too hard for God. Amen. He will speak to that situation in your life. All things will come the right side up. Amen. We're looking at Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, we're looking at verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He spake and it was done. And God has not changed. He speaks and a sinner becomes a saint. He speaks, sins are forgiven. He speaks, souls, saints are sanctified and purified. He speaks, and the powerless, the anemic, the weak become strong. The word of God will come into your personality. And all the weaknesses will drive away in Jesus' name. Because as he was yesterday, so he is today, and so he will ever be. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. fast. Come to point number two here. Point number two. We're looking at the essence of the foremost hope of the Christian. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at it from verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith always talks of the present. Faith is. If the sickness is present, the faith that heals the sickness is present. Faith is. If the confusion, the conflict, if the harassment of the enemy is present, the faith that dissolves that confusion and brings the peace of heart, perfect peace, the faith that turns confusion into calm, that is. Faith is always in the present, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen, the good we have not seen. Faith will bring to reality. Amen. The power we have not seen, faith will bring it visible. And the things that look far away, faith will bring to the present time in your life. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the foundation of our hope in Christ. Number two is the fruit of hope as new creatures. Number three is the faithfulness of the hopeful in his church. Look at number one. Number one, the foundation of our hope in Christ. We have hope in Christ, and that hope has foundation. And it is that foundation that gives us assurance. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 18, it says, by two immutable things, in the which it was essential, impossible for God to lie. Can God lie? Tell me out loud. Unbelief equates God with man. Unbelief equates God with mankind. Unbelief equates the Creator with the created. And because the created, they deceive and they lie. And they promise what they don't intend to do, what they don't have the power to do. And when they are not able to do it, then they concoct and create a lie to cover up their deficiency. But God cannot be equated with man. He is God. If there's anything we know about God, his promises are well thought through before he gave them. The prophecies are well thought through with his foreknowledge before those prophecies were uttered. And the performance that he says he will perform, they are thought through before he gave them. And he might have given them 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. He could see far ahead, beyond the thousands of years. And so when you come to claim them today, they're still as valid as they were in centuries millennia gone by, because by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. Lay hands and lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And then he tells us in verse 19, which hope we have in the present. Not that we had hoped, we had thought, we had expected that this will happen, but now it's beyond our reach. No, the faith is present, the hope is present. We lay hold on the hope that is set before us. What hope did you have? That the invisible will become visible in your life, that the non-existent will become existent in your life, that the weakness you now see, you will not see that weakness anymore, even as the Lord will touch and transform your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. For the apostle is using the picture of a big ship that is chained at the shore, and the waves beat on the ship, and the rains and the flood may come on the ship, but because the anchor is there, and that ship is anchored to the shore, when you come tomorrow, you'll see, find that ship there. As long as the anchor is there, you'll find the ship there. And when we come tomorrow, or come next month, or come next year, just to see whether you're still there, you'll still be there. Because your life, your ministry is anchored to the rock of ages. And it says, is both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Within the veil. Within the veil. Again, Paul the Apostle is referring to the tabernacle. There is the outer court, there is the holy place, and there is that, the Holy of Holies, within the veil. The ordinary Israelite could come to the outer part of the tabernacle, but the Holy of Holies within the veil, no ordinary Israelite could get in there. And of course, no Canaanite, no Hivite, no Jebusite, and no Satan, and no devil could come inside that veil. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom, so that now it's not just the high priest, but you, the priest of the Lord, you, a member of the body of Christ, can enter within the veil. You didn't say good amen.
Amen.
And anything chasing you, anything pursuing you, they might get to the outer court, but when you enter and you abide in the refuge within the veil, they stop outside the veil. They will not touch you.
Amen.
They will not catch you.
Amen.
And as long as you remain in Christ, abiding in Christ, within the veil, you're secured in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I am secured in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two here, we're looking at the fruit of our hope as new creatures. Hope has fruit. Hope has consequence. 1 John chapter 3. We're reading from verse 1. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He loves me. I said he loves me. How many times we forget what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us? When we have challenges, we think the challenges dry up the love of God for us. When we have things that rub against us in the wrong direction, we think that thing is powerful enough, strong enough to take the love of God away from us. When we go through storm and through the waves and through various challenges, we forget the love that God has towards us abides ever. His loving kindness will never fail in your life. And behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on me. Say on me, that I should be called the son, the daughter of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Underline, underscore that now. The people that are always seeking salvation, they do not know that now, at this time, at this present time, in this present life, we can have the assurance that we are the sons of God. But now are we the sons of God? Some people say, you'll never know, you'll never be sure, you'll never be certain, to the point of absolute certainty that you are a son, a daughter, a member of the body of Christ until you cross over. But now, the revealed word, the inspired word says, now. Are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Can you imagine yourself sitting down there, standing up there? You will be like Christ. After he rose from the dead, he didn't have to knock at the door for them to open the door for him. He went through the closed locked door and he said, children, peace be unto thee. He didn't have to wait for them to open the door. The time comes in your life when you don't have to wait for any man, anyone to open the door. You will go through with a breakthrough. It says, when he shall appear, when he comes at the time of the rapture. You know, I'm wondering, many people are wondering, you jump up, the force of gravity will bring you down. But we see Jesus Christ, after he has given instruction to the disciples, we're told he was lifted up. And they looked up to him, and the power of the force of gravity, the did not have any hold to bring him down. He went up and he went into heaven. That day is coming when that will happen to you. Because when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we go up, and the power, the force, the weight of gravity will not have any authority over you. Amen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. This talks about the hope now in verse 3. And every man, every woman, of course, every person, every Christian, every believer, everyone that has this hope in him, this hope in him, beyond the hopes that the people of the world have, this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Say amen before I explain. There are people where there is a stain of impurity, a spot of impurity, a blemish of impurity, a thought of a manifestation of impurity. And they're trying to counsel and encourage them. They say, hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm just a human being. All my flaws are there. All my shortcomings are there. Of course, even when you come tomorrow or you come next week, you'll still find the wrinkles there, because I am just a man. The New Testament doesn't support you, because every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, purifies herself, even as he is pure. And sometimes when you find people, maybe they come into a new year and we're talking about a new experience, a new lifestyle, a new creature, a new creation, a new pattern of life, a new height in spirituality, and they still repeat the old dumb things they did in the previous year, and they succumb to the temptations of the previous year, and will say, brother, what's happening to you? This is what was happening last year, and this new year we'll talk about new life, new lifestyle, new creature, new creation, new character, new courage, new in every way. Okay, they say, hold on, hold on, hold on. The year did not change me. I'm a human being. They do not reach the word of God aright. That were faith and hope in the Lord. A change so comes that the change appears like the difference between the average fellow and Christ. No anger, no bad temper, no anxiety, no worry, no foolish crying, no fear, but purified as pure as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Your time of fulfillment has come. Yeah. We're looking at number 3 here. Number 3, we're looking at the faithfulness in the hopeful in his church. When we say in his church, we don't mean in a denomination. No. We don't mean in our local or native or national church. No. His church, the church he builds. And is it not plain and clear to you that his church does not contain habitual sinners? And he, Christ, building his church, this block is still an unconverted sinner. That block is building is still an habitual sinner. This one is still a deliberate sinner. This one is still a hardened sinner. And then he is building his church with them. No, no, 1,000 times, no. His church are the people he has converted, the people he has changed, the people he has transformed, the people who have repented and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does his saving, transforming, conquering work of grace in them, his church. Now, the faithfulness of the hopeful in his church. I pray God will give us understanding. Acts chapter 24. We're reading here from verse 15. Acts 24, verse 15. And have hope. Paul the Apostle said, I don't just have activity, I have hope. In fact, it's the hope that drives me. Does the hope drive you? Do you have any hope at all? Or you only have activity, engagement, occupation? You're occupied and occupied. What's your hope? What's your hope? That should be the guiding force of our lives. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, and herein do I exercise myself, because of that hope, because I know he's coming for his own, he's coming for the hopeful in his church, not the people that have religious hope, traditional hope, simply historic hope. They have a lively hope in the Lord because they know the work of grace that had been done in their heart, and they live that hopeful life. And it says, because of that hope, herein do I exercise myself. You don't have to always compare yourself with Silas, compare yourself with Titus, compare yourself with Barnabas. I'm doing better, I'm running faster, I'm doing greater. When you compare yourself like that, you forget that your calling is not their calling. Your place is not their place. The things that he says you do, and you only you can do, but you exercise the faith, the hope, the love in yourself without any reference to somebody below you, even somebody above you, but with reference to God. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense, going to bed sleeping at night, to sleep at night, to have a conscience void of offense, not to sleep on a condemned conscience, but to settle every event before the day rolls over, before you get to the next day, to have always, when there I am alone, nobody here, to see what I see, to touch what I'm touching, and to say what I'm saying, and to compose what I compose, nobody there, but always, 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 that your conscience bears you witness that if Christ should come now and meet you doing what you're doing, he'll say, well done. The hope we have of his coming, the hope we have that is coming for people, we're not just living carelessly, haphazardly. When people are there, they act like angels. When people are not there, they act different from angels. But hearing does a minister, hearing does a real child of God exercise himself or herself to have always, always, always what you cannot publicize before this crowd, don't do in the private. Always. What you cannot testify before a large crowd, don't put your hand to it in the private. What you cannot, what you'll be afraid to make restitution for, and come before the crowd and say, brethren, I'm sorry, I acted foolishly, I did such and such. What you will be afraid of doing restitution for, don't do it at all. Always be very conscious. After all, what do we gain by that and that and that? If that drops on our conscience and we're always carrying about a guilty, condemned conscience, that what we have done, we're ashamed to open our mouths in the public to say, this is what I have done. Because as a minister, as a member of the body of Christ, as a hopeful believer, wanting to get up there when he comes, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscious void of offense toward God and toward men. Amen.
Amen,
amen for yourself.
Amen.
Amen for our church.
Amen.
We come to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the establishment of the finest heritage from Christ. Three things we're looking at. Number one, we're looking at the exclusion from his final habitation for faithfulness. Number two, we're looking at expression of the finest heritage from our forerunner. Number three, we're looking at engagements of the fixed heart of the faithful. Look at number one. Number one is the exclusion from his final habitation of faithfulness. Exclusion, exclusion, exclusion. When I went to school, there were people, we started together in Form 1. And from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 in those days, as we looked at the final list, not all that were on the list in Form 1 were on the list in Form 5. Some had been excluded. Why? The school expelled them somehow. They expelled themselves. If they didn't do what they shouldn't have done, that became a scandal in our school, they would not have been expelled. They were the people, in a way, that excluded themselves. And they were not in the final habitation. I look at the people that came out of Egypt, going on to the land of Canaan. I look at the list at the beginning. I look at the list at the end. There were people who were in the first list, but they were not in the final list. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the sons of Aaron, and many others, 600,000 men above the age of 20 came out. Many, many, many did not go in. Who excluded them? They themselves. They excluded themselves. There is exclusion from the habitation of the faithful on the final day. I pray you will not be excluded.
Amen.
Jude chapter 1 verse 5. In Jude chapter 1 verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved, rescued, brought out the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward, later, destroyed them that believed not. When they came out, they believed in God, put the blood on the lintels and the side posts of the houses where you dwell in. Get rid of all leaven and get ready and prepare yourself to come out while you eat the lamb. By faith, they did that. They came out all along the way. They didn't maintain the faith by which they came out. And it says, afterwards, later, he destroyed them that believed not. You will keep on believing.
Amen.
I will keep on believing. After all, after all, after all, whatever they met in the wilderness could not be as bad as what they went through for centuries in the land of Egypt. After all, what we meet on the way cannot be as evil, as terrible, as painful as what we had when we're over there in Egypt. I'll keep on believing. I will keep on believing. That promised land you will reach in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two, the expression of the finest heritage from our forerunner. From our forerunner. It's gone before us. And because he's gone before us as our forerunner, all we do is step by step, day by day, hour by hour, one event at a time, that will follow after his steps. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus. That's the secret. Whatever challenge, whatever the day, whatever the challenge, the peculiarity of the challenge of the day, looking unto Jesus, our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Sustainer, our Protector, our Shepherd, our Lord, our Guide, looking unto Jesus, the Author and the Finisher of our faith. The Author and the Finisher of our faith. The Author and the Perfecter of our faith. Who? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him, the joy of having the Father say, well done. The joy of having the angels prostrate and say, well done. The joy of the whole of heaven bowing down and saying, blessing and glory and honor to him that sitteth upon the throne. The joy of having that exaltation forever and ever and ever. He endured the cross. Look at the time of the cross. How many days? Look at the time of the cross. How short, how brief, in comparison with eternal joy, the eternity of praise from on high. And so he understood, you have to measure, you have to gauge, you have to analyze what you are going through, what you go through, 5 minutes. Compare that with the joy of being in heaven forever and ever. The pressure, the oppression, the difficulty that happens a few days. Think of the eternal day that never comes to an end. Always lift your mind away from the things that are now. Short, brief, a very small duration of time. But the joy, the happiness, the gladness, the glory that will be forever and ever. Make a reasonable Christian righteous comparison. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, despising the shame. Christ never forgot himself. He knew all these Pharisees, all these people that shouted, crucify him, crucify him. The Father, he knew, has committed all judgment into his hands. The people that judged him, the people that crucified him, the people that slew him, the people that shouted, is dead, away with him. He will be sitting on the judgment throne, and their final destiny will be in his hand. He knew that, so he despised the shame. He knew the table will turn and he will be their judge. Have you known that God also will call you to that judgment seat, not to be judged, but you will judge the world? And the people who said, where are you going? What victory are you looking for? You will not. And he stood that way, and you kept on standing. If they could stand by the power and the plot of the devil, then you can stand by the power of the Almighty God. And you stand until that final day, and you'll be on the judgment seat, and here comes the fellow that will not be converted. His full-time job was to torture and torment you, and now the table has turned, and you will be the judge. Always think about that. The joy that is set before you'll despise the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, reading from verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. You know what Paul the Apostle was saying? Paul the Apostle was saying, before I met Christ, if that happened, I'd be angry. With capital A. Angry. Angry. But now I am crucified with Christ. My anger has been crucified with Christ. If that happened before, I'll be jealous, jealous, jealous with a capital J. But now my jealousy is crucified with Christ. Paul was saying, if it were before, I'll be proud, 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 proud to be a Jew, proud to be of the tribe of Benjamin, because the first king in Israel came from our tribe, Benjamin. And so if that happened before, with what I do now, I'll be proud with a capital P. But my pride is crucified with Christ. If that had happened before, I lay hold on him and I manifest authority over his life by force, whether he likes it or not, I'll manifest authority. But now that human authority is crucified with Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, because yet not I, it is Christ that liveth in me. And he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, says, I still have flesh, I still have body that accommodates, that houses my spirit. But now I do not give the final power to the flesh, to the body. I give the final authority to Christ, who lives on the throne of my heart. And he says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't want ever a faith less now the faith of the Son of God, who lived in victory and triumph in everything he did in the world. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. How I remember that all the time, when 40 people bind themselves together and they say they are going to kill Paul. I just realized the love of one Lord in heaven. That love is greater, mightier than the hatred and the conspiracy of those 40 people. And when all those people, the Gentiles, shouting, Diana is the greatest, Diana is the greatest, and I see them in their frenzy and hatred, I then understand the love of that one Lord in heaven is greater and higher and deeper and wider than all the hatred and the plan and the plot of all those people that are shouting about their gods and their goddesses, because I know he loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. Paul had met many people. They could give him handouts. They could give him some food. They could give him some firewood and light the fire. They could give this or that. But he had not met one that gave their lives for him. And he says, appreciate the hospitality of men and women. Appreciate the gifts. Appreciate the things that made for his comfort. But the one that loved me and gave himself for me, he said, all these thousands of people will not make me to forget the one that gave his life for me. And I live by the faith of that Son of God. Look at number three here. Number three here is the engagements of the fixed heart of the faithful. That your heart is fixed and that you abide faithful. The Lord help you. The Lord help me. The Lord help us. You'll be faithful. You remain faithful. In Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You need to come to a commitment, a consecration, and fix your heart. We have most of the time walked by sight. You are happy, you are smiling until you saw a frowning face. And then you changed because you are walking by what you saw, not by faith. You are hopeful and expectant and exuberant, and you were almost jumping in the air before somebody came before you that deflated your balloon, and now you are down. You are walking by sight. You are not walking by faith. You were determined and courageous until you saw a little child with a little stick of broom and doing it like this and this, and then with a childish voice saying, I will deal with you. Then all your courage went down. You became so sorrowful. How is it me of this stature? That little child is raising a broom or stick and threatening me. You are walking by sight, not by faith. You are almost self-congratulating yourself. Praise the Lord. I want that soul to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I did that for the glory of God, not in my strength. And you are kind of excited at life when you saw what the Lord was using you to do, until you met somebody by his look, by his talk, demeaning, and look down you. What have you done that others have not done? And you should have done this and done this. So, what a joy for the little you have done. And you think your life is amounting to something. I can tell you of Mr. Somebody, Mrs. Somebody, who had gone far ahead of even younger than you are. And then you sank. You sank. You sank. You want to hide your head. The joy that was there, the spring on your feet, under your feet, the springs were no more there because you heard what he said, you saw what he did, you were walking by sight. And the Lord is now calling you, get up, now walk by faith. Men praise you or praise you not. Men accept you or reject you. Men on earth depreciate you or despise you. Look away from the men on earth and look to the man who stands for you on the side of the Almighty God. Looking at him, walk by faith, and the things on earth will never discourage you. We fix our minds, fix our hearts, fix everything we have to remain by faith and to live by faith, talk by faith, preach by faith, pray by faith, eat by faith, acquire by faith, possess by faith, distribute by faith, and walk by faith. Come to this new life of walking by faith. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer by faith, standing by faith, living by faith, walking by faith, interacting by faith, joyful by faith, all things by faith. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.